July 26th to 28th was one of the outstanding weekends of the year for Roots music festivals. Rocky Grass took place in Lyons, Colorado. Floyd Fest, which is now huge, went down in Virginia. And on the rocky shores of Rhode Island, the iconic Newport Folk Festival celebrated its 60th year. Journalist and producer Kelly McCartney, host of Hangin' and Sangin' on WMOT, was there and has some stories. She joins me from her new base in upstate New York. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm still a little bit tired from the weekend, but I'm fantastic. It was an amazing time. It was my first time there, so.
Right. Well, share some general impressions, because it was a first time and such a celebratory one, 60 years. But, you know, I've never been able to really quite picture it and the scope and scale and the vibe.
It's amazing that they have about 10,000 people running through there every day, and everyone is friendly, everyone is happy, people are picking up things that somebody else dropped and chasing them down, going, hey, you dropped this. And it's perhaps one of the most polite music festivals I've ever been to, for sure. And I gotta say, I think I have a new rule, is that I only attend music festivals that I arrive by boat, because it just starts the day in a really wonderful way.
Well, how did they celebrate 60 years? And I gather this was also the 100th sort of birthday year of Pete Seeger.
Right. Yeah, they paid tribute to Pete on the final night, Sunday night. The finale was called If I Had a Song. It was a bit of a sing-along hosted by Chris Funk, and he gathered up a bunch of folks to come and do covers, including some guys from the Shins and Fruit Bats doing a cover of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes with Judy Collins standing on the stage next to them. And that was wonderful. But the whole set that night kicked off with Kermit the Frog singing Rainbow Connection. And I think that was a first, for sure. Mavis Staples was there. Our Native Daughters, Alinda Lee Segarra, came out and sang a song with Brandi Carlile. So that was the finale night, and they had little sing-along booklets. And so that was sort of the thanks to Pete in his spirit. Otherwise, just generally, I think, you know, it was a fairly, from what I can tell, a fairly normal Newport, in that Newport is known for its surprises and its collaborations and people sort of hopping into sets and singing with each other. It was the first time that the Saturday night finale ever got handed over to a woman to curate, and that was Brandi Carlile, of course, and she pulled off one of the greatest surprises in Newport history by bringing out Dolly Parton.
Well, there's the main event, right, and yeah. You apparently had a little bit of foreknowledge about this?
I did. I'm buddies with those high women, and it's something that had been in the works for quite a many months, and It was just so wonderful to see people just absolutely freak out when Brandi said her name and Dolly walked out on stage in front of 10,000 people.
The high women, like you said, you know these artists, and it's been a really central story of this year, following on several years of a really high level and important dialogue across the roots and country music scenes about the availability of options for women, airplay, airtime. And in the High Women, you've got one commercial country artist in Maren Morris alongside three really distinguished and extremely in demand female singer-songwriters from the folk roots and Americana world. What does it represent right now?
You know, I think it represents a few different things. Number one, like you said, it's a push to make women's voices heard in country music and in roots music in general, because I think Americana radio does a better job at gender equality, but it's not, there's not parity, I don't think. So the idea started a few years back. Amanda Shires had the idea, just to play on words, of the High Women, to play on the Highwaymen.
A lot of good ideas have to start with a good pun. I'm
exactly
all about that.
Yeah. And so she wanted it to be four women, and Dave Cobb said, "Hey, you should talk to Brandi Carlile about this, because Brandi has long been about supporting other women." And Brandi got jumped on in readily, and she recruited Maren Morris, and then Maren Morris brought in, I think it was sort of a combination of Maren and Dave Cobb bringing in Natalie Himby, originally just to write some songs, and then Brandy heard her voice and said, hey, you should be in our band, and Natalie was kind of like, well, what does that mean? And so there was a little bit of like, does she want to be in our band? Do you want to be in our band? Kind of back and forth. And hey, here we are. They're making their debut on stage at Newport Folk Festival and on national TV on Jimmy Fallon.
You also, it was really striking that you had the other sort of super group of the year in Our Native Daughters. Rhiannon Giddens, Amethyst Kia, Layla McCalla, help me round out the...
And Allison Russell.
Yes, from Birds of Chicago. And they were both at Newport and both sort of speaking their truth and representing something. And it's hard. I'll ask this by way of sort of asking, do we sort of have a feeling for how these two groups will be able to sort of persist as groups? These are busy, busy women and artists of their own careers, their own right, going into this fall and next year.
Yeah, you know, and I'm With Her was also there, so it was sort of, it was a little bit of a hat trick. We were just missing the Pistol Annies, which Amy Ray and I decided they needed to come next year.
Good point.
Yeah, but with Our Native Daughters, yes, absolutely, they're all incredibly busy. Amethyst has a solo record coming out soon. Layla released a solo record this year. Birds of Chicago have their things and some other side projects. And Rhiannon has the entire world that she's conquering. But they had such a good time on this little run of dates that they did that it's pretty likely that they're going to keep Our Native Daughters going. And they should. I mean, their set was really phenomenal. It was on the same quad stage that the High Women played it Friday night, and people were on their feet for the entire set. Our Native Daughters played it Sunday afternoon, and they got six standing ovations, including one for just a song introduction. And I kind of had a feeling that they were going to get another standing ovation when they started singing Mama's Crying Long, and so I started filming from side stage in the middle of the song so that I could capture it. And about 2/3 of the way through the song, it's a song that Rhiannon sings the lead on, and she started crying, and she barely got through the rest of the song. And once she finished, she just had to step back from the mic and sob into her hands for a few moments. And the rest of the band was crying. Most of the audience was crying. All of us over on side stage were crying.
Yeah.
And that's just, to me, that's the heart of folk music, right? It's why it matters. It's why it has always mattered and always will matter. It's telling these stories that must be told and getting them across in one of the most powerful ways possible is through music. And Our Native Daughters did that in a big, big, big way on Sunday. And then they took to the, they were part of the big finale Sunday night on the main stage at the, on the fourth stage. So a lot more people got to hear them out there. And when Rhiannon and Mavis Staples kind of threw down at each other on the end of singing Eyes on the Prize, the crowd just roared. So it was really, really wonderful to see them get, you know, not quite the level of attention that the High Women got, but certainly they put a lot of people on notice that, that they're in the game too and deserve to be heard.
Well, speaking of emotion, the clip I saw of Brandi Carlile singing with Dolly, they duetted on I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does a human, and she admitted in a, you know, a post that she was as close to ever losing it as she ever had on stage. I'm like, I can't listen to Dolly sing it solo without crying. How would somebody literally get through the business of making your lungs work and your mouth work and not just lose it? It was quite something. A study in composure, if ever there was one.
Yeah, you can. There is a video of them singing it, and you can see it. You can see the moment as soon as Dolly like reaches out and pulls Brandy in. She just about loses it, and the clip cuts off right at the end of the song, but right after, Brandy had to, she squatted down on the stage and sort of ducked her head into her arms just to like pull it together for a second. And then she just carried on because she's a trooper. And, you know, she was just like, okay, I'm going to process this later. Right now, there are more songs to sing.
Yeah, that's what professionals do. Well, just to wrap up, Kelly, any other general impressions or artists that move you or a sense of the state of the music that you took away that was a little subtly different than the one you know and carry around all the time?
You know, I will say this, that Anais Mitchell and Eric Johnson have a new band called Bonnie Light Horseman that is phenomenal. So look out for them. Yola, of course, blew everybody away, as did Courtney Marie Andrews. You know, I think it really is. It's a moment where women are stepping up and taking what is rightfully theirs and has been theirs and it's wonderful to see. And the audience is responding and loving it and ready for more. I mean, just talking, one of my favorite things at events like this is to sort of be incognito where people think I'm just another fan, and to get to have a conversation on that level and hear what they think. And Friday morning, first morning on the way over there, you know, we were talking to this couple about who they were excited to see, and you know, we mentioned the High Women, and they didn't even know who they were. And as soon as we said Brandi Carlile, they're like, oh, we're in. And yeah. But then the woman herself started saying, talking about how there's, you know, a lack of women in country radio. And I was just smiling to myself, like the message is getting out to the people and to the fans, and they're aware, and they're going to make the changes on their side. So as long as the women artists keep putting out great music, they're going to find an audience. You know, Casey Musgraves was there.
Oh, that's right.
Gosh,
wow.
Yeah.
How were there any left to play the other festivals?
It must have been
all men at Rocky Grass and Floyd.
Maybe there was. Yeah, because we had Jade Bird and Maggie Rogers and everybody. So, yeah. Sorry, Floyd.
Well, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Kelly, it's great to talk to you. Thanks a lot for the report.
You too, buddy. All right. Good deal. Thanks.